Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with the Big Exit Interview Podcast. Today we're going to be talking with the final five players from Survivor Worlds Apart. Today that includes the winner of Survivor Worlds Apart, the king of the Dirty 30, Mike Holloway, will join us. And he will be on the podcast today, as well as then we will have double interviews with the second and third place finishers. That would be Carolyn and Will. And then we're going to also round it out with the fourth and fifth place finishers, and that would be Sierra and Rodney. We've got a very busy day coming up here on the podcast. I'm very excited. Of course, last night I spoke with Tyson. Unfortunately, we had so many people watching the show. We never had this happen before. The video is all wonky. I don't know why this happened, but our video is really screwed up. I don't know what happened there. The audio version is fine. It's killing me that the video is screwed up. This never happens when we do these video recaps of anything, and all of a sudden, last night, we have probably the biggest show that we ever did, and the video just is totally screwed up. I don't know if the Google Hangout couldn't handle the amount of people that we had trying to watch it at once, and it was screwed up. So I don't know what exactly was going on there. I apologize completely. It's a sincere apology, and I really just feel very terrible about that. The audio version is up on robswebsite.com. I hope you guys check that out as well today. Then last night, I got to go out, got to see everybody as part of the after party from Survivor Worlds Apart. That was very fun. I'm sure I will talk about that later on today when I speak with Josh Wiggler, who's coming here in person to do our season 30 wrap-up show. I'm sure we will talk plenty about Survivor Second Chance as well. You can get your voicemails into that show at robswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then, of course, here we have our exit interview. So much more coming. We're going to see, maybe we'll have some additional coverage about Survivor Worlds Apart going forward. Evolution of Strategy Volume 2 drops tomorrow. That is going to be the 10 chapters from Chapter 11, which is Guatemala, all the way through Survivor Heroes versus Villains. That's all coming up in Volume 2. I'll talk plenty more about that with Josh Wiggler. But first, let's go ahead and bring in our winner of Survivor 30. Here he is joining us on the line. Mike Holloway, are you there?
Robinson.
Oh my God, Mike! First off, congratulations.
Rob, how are you today, brother?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I got a little voice thing going on, but you know, we know that basically happens with me.
Yeah, so that'll happen. All right. Well, did you get some sleep last night?
Actually, no. Rodney came down to the room and we spooned for about an hour.
Oh, wow.
Watched some videos and then, you know, talked about the live reunion show and the focus of the live reunion show and the next season coming up, 31.
So, oh, wow. You guys were up all night talking about season 31?
I mean, dude, all of America.
Everybody's excited. Everybody's excited. And, you know, I do feel bad that it's taken some of the focus off of your win, which was a really great one. And my question for you to start off is, was this outcome ever in doubt for you? Did you feel like from the moment that you finished filming to coming out to LA to do the finale taping, did you feel like you had this in the bag the whole way?
You know, I'm going to refer to my favorite winner of all time and say something that she said. Kim Spradlin, I think, explained it the best possible way, that when she left the game, she really felt like that she had won. And then there was a middle part before the show aired where she was like really, really, you know, questioning it. And I went through all those same things. But then, you know, seeing the edit and seeing week by week, what I feel like was just kind of like Mike time. Rodney got his Rodney time, you know, like on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. I kind of felt like it was a little bit of the Mike show, which is cool and so humbling and over the top. You know, thank you for that. But yeah, it was. What was the question, Rob? Where are we going again?
we got it. But was it in doubt? And not at first, but then a little bit in the middle, and then not so much when the show started. All right. Go back to last night and talk about this decision to force this 2-2 tie between Carolyn and Rodney. Because I think a lot of viewers were sort of screaming at the TV, no, Mike, you're blowing it. That go to the take Will and Rodney to the end. Don't leave Mama C out of this. but you wanted to have her in there. Why was that so important to you?
Well, I just want to say that this is so cool because my parents would never let me have a machete.
Yes. Yeah, they not. Look, my kid's not getting a machete.
Oh, that was a little quote from Amazon. Anyways, honestly, Rob, here's the deal. You tell me how exciting, first of all, is fire at Final Tribal?
Sure. It turns out to never be that exciting because nobody can ever make a fire at Final Tribal Council. But on paper, it's exciting. But why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about making it exciting?
Here's the thing. Obviously, we had an amazing season. I mean, we had three idols found, used, and successfully used. You know, we had fire at the end. There was tons and tons and tons of strategy. And I feel like, we kind of got overshadowed a little bit, but that's not the question you asked. The question you asked is, why did I do fire? The reason I did fire is because Rodney was fastly gaining momentum in the jury. A lot of people in the edit will say, oh, Rodney's just this buffoon and, he's this meathead guy. And he's truly not all of those things at all. He's actually a really, really smart hustler. And I don't think he gets enough credit for the game that he played. He pulled together the Axis of Evil, this alliance of, I'm going to say misfits, but take that the right way, Carolyn, Tyler, and Will. He took a group of people that had no common bond and essentially was leading them, whether they would admit to that or not. They were doing what he wanted to do. And, humor goes a very, very long way in the game of Survivor, and especially at Final Tribal. So I wasn't scared to take Rodney to the end, but it was smarter for me to take Carolyn and Will to the end because Carolyn was kind of on the outs with the no callers. So I felt really, really, really good that no matter who won, I was still going to win. But this would also show the weaknesses in their games, both of their games. For 38 days, you guys can't come out here and do fire. What? Number two, if Carolyn loses, I think I did enough by saving her that I garnish a jury vote there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
Yeah. Talk to me about the decision to vote out Sierra at 5. Because I think that was another thing that people were scratching their heads last night and said, why not take out Carolyn? Because I think everybody who was watching the show felt like Carolyn was your biggest threat.
Well, here's the thing. Sierra is really, really, really good at puzzles. Really good at puzzles. And you're a fan. You've been watching this a long time.
Yeah.
What's normally the final immunity? Some sort of obstacle and a puzzle at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about all this and, the plan is Rodney at that point because I was really thinking about going with Carolyn and Sierra. And the more and more I sat there and thought about it, I was like, whoa, hold up. Sierra physically has been kind of on my heels, but in a puzzle, she's better at puzzles than I am. So, dude, she's got to go. So, literally 5 minutes before Tribal Council, I run up to Rodney and switch the vote. I'm like, look, it's either you or Sierra. What do you want to do? And he's like, well, obviously, I don't want it to be me. So, then I'm like, go grab your boy Will. Tell Will we're voting Sierra tonight. And, Mama C, here's something that's funny. Mama C was not in on that plan to get Sierra, but at Tribal Council, she sniffed it out and voted the right person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive on Mama C's part.
Yes, definitely. Tell me, when you went to the auction and there was the whole thing that happened where you tried to, not buy the letter and then ultimately get the advantage for yourself. How many nights were you out there after that you thought that was going to cost you your game?
Probably every night. I mean, just because they needed a reason. Not that they needed a reason to come for me because it's the game of Survivor, but they needed a reason to come from my head, and I gave it to them on a platter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I did all the harm of that move without getting any of the benefit. So, you know, like I've been thinking a lot about this, Rob, and you tell me, I want to ask your opinion on this.
Okay.
You watched the season.
I did.
If I go ahead and do that and take the advantage, but then instead of going back to camp and blowing Rodney's game up, if I go to Dan and just hand him the advantage and I'm like, Dan, we could not let Carolyn get this. Rodney and all of them are coming for me. This is now your advantage. I'm giving it to you to show loyalty, to show trust. I think, in my opinion, that might have changed things. But you being a viewer, you being Rob, what do you think?
Well, I think that you are expecting Dan to be totally rational and reasonable. And I think we saw over the 37 or whatever days that he was out there, that wasn't always the case. And I think he would still be pissed at you. I don't think that would have necessarily changed anything. I think he would have said, oh, because I'm mad at you. That's why you're doing this. And it's too late. You know, I'm sure he would appreciate it, but I think that, I don't know, it would change that much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. You were fine. I think that the biggest move you ended up making in the game was getting Joe out, because you came into the merge and I felt like Joe was protecting you. I was saying, you know, I think that Mike needs to work with Joe. You went ahead, you got rid of him. And ultimately, he was the guy that was stopping you from winning all these immunities. And then you win, what, 5 out of the 6 last immunity challenges, Mike?
Yeah, that's a little nutty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's really super impressive that nobody's ever done that before. Nobody's ever been, it's like the baseball season where you were like 8 games out with 9 to play or something like that. But you were able to.
Am I talking to Rodney with the sports analogy
yes,
here? What's
yes,
going
but
on?
No, you ran the table pretty much, and then were able to play the idol on the one time that you didn't have the necklace. And that's just never been accomplished before. So was that in your mind when you voted out Joe, of that if he's not here, I could run the table as far as immunities go?
Well, here's something that didn't get shown, and I don't know why it didn't get shown, Rob. But the day after, or the day before Joe goes home, I don't remember which one it was, but you know, I'm doing a walk, and they, you know, they're like, well, you know, what are you gonna do? You know, if y'all vote Joe off, what are you gonna do? Because what are you gonna do? And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I know I'm next on the chopping block after Joe goes, but I've got to get him out of the way. Got to remove him because, yeah, I saw that too. Athletically, I thought that I had an upper hand on the majority of our cast, except for Joe. And he was such a polarizing. The kid's just so good at the game of Survivor. He really is. And, well, the physical aspect of it anyways. And the social aspect too. But, yeah, getting Joe out, I think the two biggest moves in the game for me were getting Joe and Joaquin out, because those are two moves that had to happen or else numbers would have been drastically. Well, Joe's not numbers would have been drastically, but the whole game would have flipped had we gone to the merge with Joaquin in the game and Joe being gone, I believe.
Okay. A couple last quick things. Did you have the opportunity to take anybody on the family reward after you won it?
No.
Did you ask, can I take anybody with me?
I would not have. I'm telling you right now, if I would have won that reward and it would have been one of those deals where, you know, you go on a catamaran and you pick one or two people or whatever. Yo, it's Jeff. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Me and my mom are going to go experience this by ourselves, and all of you other 5 can or 4 can suck it, because we're going to go get food and we're going to get our bellies full, and because I need this for the competition.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, they didn't do me any favors in the game, Rob. Literally, whenever my mom comes running out, I go to grab my mom and I'm like, Mom, I'm all alone.
Yeah.
Like, they're all out to get me. Start praying. You know, like, why isn't stuff like that put in the edit? Why, whenever the winner speaks for the very first time, why does he get cut off 3 times?
Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, my
understanding.
That's a bigger conversation.
We're not going to get into all that. I understand. I'm just saying, like, next question.
Yeah.
Next question.
We only have so much time, but so real quick, last thing I want to know about, were you ever tempted at that point where, I know it works out great for you, but to play the hidden immunity idol on Shireen at that point, I think that's at final eight where you have the necklace, you could play the idol on her, you do that bluff ultimately. People end up voting for Dan. Were you ever tempted, though, in the moment to play the idol on Shireen?
I'll tell you like this. My heart wanted to keep her in the game. But my head told me, look, you can only protect people for so long, and you have to worry about protecting yourself. So I knew that if I was gone, if the moment that I did not win immunity, that they were voting for me. So, no, having that protection, that one, and I mean, look at it, Rob. Out of the last six, I lost one, and I had to have it. If I didn't have it, I go home that night.
Yeah, that was your safety net.
That was my number one alliance other than Kelly in the game was that blue idol.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, congratulations. It's a real treat to talk to you this morning. I hope you really bask in the glow of this, and you know, can't wait to talk to you again.
I tell you what, Rob, I love Survivor. I love CBS.
I know you do.
Love Jeff Probst.
You kissed him.
I did kiss him. A little shades of Dawson there for you. A little tribute to old Dawson. Except for I wasn't going full lips.
Yes, original Dawson. All right, Mike, thank you so much. Congratulations again, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, brother. Later.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That is Mike Holloway joining us here on the podcast. Congratulations again to Mike. Looking forward to talking to Mike again sometime soon. All right, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast before we jump into our interview with Mama C and Will. And it's a new sponsor here on the podcast, Stamps.com, because Stamps.com allows you to print real U.S. postage at your house, by your computer. Avoid all those trips to the post office because, you know, the post office, it serves its purpose, but you can go to the post office and you have to wait in long lines, and that's no fun. And you might even see some Dan Foley works at the post office. And what if he's in a bad mood? What if he wants to give you a peace of mind there? Of course, you could avoid all that. And you could just go ahead and do everything you do in terms of postage at the post office right from the comfort of your house. It's like having a no-collar job right there, and you make your own hours, and you can get postage whenever you want. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer with Stamps.com 24/7. I have the Stamps.com set up now. They send me everything. I've got the scale. I've got labels. I can print postage. I don't see any reason why I have to go over to the post office again and wait on those lines. And it's, you know, kills like an hour if you have to go over there. Forget about it. Stamps.com. So right now you could use our promo code RHAP. You get a special offer. It's a no risk trial. It's a $110 bonus offer, which includes the digital scale and up to $55 free postage. The scale's really cool. It plugs into your computer. It tells you how much things weigh and then how much postage you have to buy. And it all goes through a credit card. And then you can go ahead and just get that postage right there, all at your house, and be sending letters immediately. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RHAP. That's Stamps.com, and enter RHAP to get that $110 bonus offer and the free digital scale and up to $55 of postage from Stamps.com. All right, let's go ahead and talk to our first of these double interviews. We're going to have both Will and Mama C on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Will and Mama C, are you there?
All right. Good.
Yeah. All right. Will and Carolyn, you guys get to the final three. Ultimately, Mike is the winner. You know, I have a lot of questions for both of you, but let me start off with something that both of you can address. So at the merge, you guys were both with the new version of the No Collar Tribe, but both of you guys leave and go and start something with Rodney, who neither of you had a relationship with in the game. At that point, what was it about Rodney that sort of drew you to him and away from the people that you had worked with to vote out Max? Do you want to start, Carolyn?
Sure. When I got to Negrete, Will and I connected right away. And we knew that we were going to stick together through, you know, the rest of the game. But what happened was, you know, the girls were younger and they weren't really interacting with us kind of at all. And so when we got to the merge, I know from my standpoint, I was worried that, you know, I didn't know if I could trust them or they would never want to talk strategy. So I never knew where their head was at. And the only thing that I did know was that those two were inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to do whatever they were going to do together. And I figured that Joe was in on that. So when we got to the merge and I had, you know, you're in the game, you make eye contact. And so you see people that you want to work with. And, you know, Kelly was also somebody that we wanted to work with. And so when we got back to the merge in the Blue Collar Beach, you know, that's kind of where it all began. I knew Rodney was from Boston. I was from New York. We were going to, you know, have that Northeast connection, even though we're rivals and he likes Red Sox. I like, you know, Yankees,
mm-hmm.
but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
We hit it off right away.
And Will, I was a surprise too for you because you had been with the No Collar people. And I know that they cast votes against you in one of the earlier tribal councils, but I was surprised that you defected away from them. Because in some ways, I think that really changed the whole course of the game when you guys ultimately made that move to link up with Rodney and back with Tyler, Will.
Yeah, well, after when we merged, they stopped talking to me. So I didn't know if they just assumed that they had me in their pocket and they were trying to make other moves and say, hey, we got Will, don't worry about him. Let's do our own thing. But they stopped talking. And like Carolyn said, we clicked from day one and me, her, and Kelly. And then when we merged, Rodney came up to me. We clicked. It seemed like me and Rodney had been friends since day one. And he was like, hey, let's come over here. Let's form this alliance and let's make moves. And that's what we did because, you know, Jen, Joe, and Haley just completely shut down and didn't talk to me at all. You know, they had to play their game. And so I didn't take offense to it. I feel like, hey, we're at the merge, every man for themselves.
Okay, now you guys both ultimately go to the final tribal council with Mike. Were either of you guys surprised with the way that the votes ultimately turned out?
The only thing that surprised me was that Carolyn only got one vote from Sierra. I was shocked.
Carolyn, is that how you felt also?
I was pretty shocked myself, yeah. I wasn't sure that I was going to win. I thought I had a shot at it, honestly, but I didn't think that I was only going to get one vote.
Okay, so who else's vote did you feel like you had?
I thought I had Tyler's vote for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I could potentially have Shireen's vote, and I was hoping for one of either Haley or Joe.
Not Dan?
No, I didn't think I had Dan's vote.
Okay. Now, did you feel like that was sour grapes from Tyler to not give you the vote after you guys had worked together, but then you ultimately voted him out?
I mean, I don't know what was in his head. It was disappointing that he didn't vote for me. I really thought that he was going to vote for me.
You know, in hindsight, going back to the Tyler move, Carolyn, do you feel like that ultimately it would have been a better decision to keep Tyler in the game because he was a person that could have potentially beaten Mike? I know you get all the way to the final three with the path that you chose, but do you look back at the Tyler thing and say, maybe I should have kept him around?
Honestly, I don't. I think that if he would have been there in the final three with me, then I think he would have won.
Okay.
Whereas I thought that I had a shot against Mike because Mike had such, you know, different outbursts with people that it could have gone either way.
Well, you know, we have to touch on the Shireen stuff from
yeah,
from the season. Now, so much was made out of it. And, you know, we've certainly been talking with Dan for since last week with him and everything that happened with the show. Was there anything that you felt like was, you know, either not shown that would explain more of your side of this?
I think what wasn't shown was, you know, her comments towards, you know, me, Rodney, and Dan. You know, she made a lot of derogatory comments to us all the time. Now, that doesn't excuse, you know, what happened. I mean, I did take it too far, but I was upset that here I am, I'm sharing my food, you eat it all in one day, and then you're going to question me about having more.
Yeah.
And that just set me off. Did I take it far? Absolutely. Mama C, when she came back and she heard what happened, oh, she lit me a new one. She was very upset at me.
Is that true, Carolyn?
Yes, it is.
She put me in timeout. Those chairs, I couldn't leave until we went to tribal. She literally only let me leave to get water or to use the restroom. She wouldn't even let me go to the shelter and lay down. She said, you sit right here so I can keep an eye on you.
Yeah. So many people, we heard from so many people during those moments and during that week that people were really upset, and that really, you know, ignited a lot of strong feelings in people. And not so much that it happened, but I think also that, you know, afterwards, you know, you at Tribal Council still didn't walk it back at all, and, you know, and stood by what you said. And I think that I'm sure it goes a long way that you have, you know, seemingly gone ahead and offered an apology to Shireen at this point in time. But I mean, is there anything that you wish you could have back about this whole incident?
No, I mean, everything happens for a reason. You can learn from any situation. I know at the next two tribals, Jeff was begging me to apologize. He's like, why don't you just apologize? Just apologize. And I said, Jeff, when I apologize, I wanted to be sincere. After the blow up, me and Shireen never talked again until Ponderosa. So I knew she wasn't ready to hear an apology at that time, and I wasn't ready to give one because we're both still upset. If me and you, Rob, get into an argument and I smack you, you're not ready to hear apologize from me right after that.
No,
you know,
probably
you're
going to
be upset. You're going to go, you know, and deal with it. Like, why did Will hit me? You know, what did I say to piss him off? And you're going to take time to reflect, and you have to come to a piece where, okay, all right, Will came up to me 3 days later. He apologized. He's sincere. I'm going to try to move on. We were never at that point until Ponderosa.
Carolyn, could you just touch on this? Because we talked about this so much on the show and you know, online. Did you see this as a man and woman issue, or did you feel like this was something that wasn't really something that involved sex or gender?
Well, a couple of things with this. I think that, first of all, when the incident happened, and, you know, everyone on the season who is still in the game got something for it, which is really ultimately a shame, right? Because I got so much hate. How come you didn't stand up to Shireen? And what? I wasn't even there, first of all. Second of all, I actually went up to Shireen to see how she was doing and to talk to her. And I went up to Will to make sure that he was going to calm down so that this does not happen again. And that was not evident. So, you know, having the season turn into this whole incident of fighting just was so upsetting to me, because we are a very close-knit cast and there's so much more to our season than, you know, an event. And I do not think that this was, I didn't feel like, you know, anyone against me whatsoever was there any ever some sexist remarks or, you know, male female thing. I just didn't feel that at all. I mean, when Rodney went off, he was hungry. He was upset that I didn't take him to a challenge. That's Rodney. I knew he was going to blow up like that. You know, like, okay, who cares? Move on. The game, for God's sake. So,
yeah.
No, I didn't feel like it was. I didn't feel like it was that kind of a season.
Now, there was so much going on last night with everything with you guys and the finale and the Survivor Second Chance. And Carolyn, you were in this unique position of that you were somebody who was in the running up until the end, but also in the running for Survivor Second Chance, and you didn't end up getting the call. I really thought that you would, from everything that I had projected from this. How much did you feel like you were going to be ready to go back out there again today?
Oh, my bags were packed. I was on the next plane.
Yeah.
There was no question about it. So
she got robbed. No pun intended.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, did you feel like it was a big disadvantage to you to be one of the only people, and really ultimately with Mike winning the game, the only person who was in this unique position of that you were in the mix for this vote, but you couldn't go out and campaign like everybody else could?
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly, I wasn't allowed to basically do anything except say, vote for me on Twitter, you know, like, and I have, what, 2,000 followers or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, people thought, oh, well, because she's still on the show, they're going to vote for her. Well, because I'm still on the show, people think that people thought I had a great opportunity to win the game. So they didn't want to waste the vote on me. So
right.
it kind of was like, I wish they never even put my name out there, because then this way it wouldn't have been such a disappointment.
Yeah. No, I can understand that, because people say, well, why do you need a second chance? You're still on your first chance. And I think a lot of people,
exactly.
Yeah. You know, didn't even consider you in the running for that, because you know, that everybody else, we knew how their original story ended. And for you, it was still very much in play that you could potentially walk away as the winner. And I think a lot of people had you potentially winning, in the show last night. Exactly.
And the video that I had, if you saw it, was the dumbest video ever, because I wasn't allowed to say anything.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they don't hold that against you in terms of giving you a second chance on your second chance as far as CBS goes, because I think a lot of people would like to see you go back out there.
Carolyn and I will be on Heroes versus Villain as the new Access of Evil. I will be the villain, and she will be the hero.
Okay, that's good. Will, can you talk about that after Mike won the necklace last night, or won the final four immunity? There was this moment where you wanted to go and put the necklace around Mike's neck, and we were talking about this. Was that a genuine moment, or was that strategy of, okay, well, now Mike holds a lot of the cards here, let me go ahead and try to, you know, get on back on his good side again?
No, that was a genuine moment. I mean, Mike went on we and him had a conversation down by the river, and he was like, if I lose, is there any way that you would not vote me out? I said, the only way you're going to win this game is if you keep winning, because once you lose, you're gone. And he had his back against the wall, and he just kept winning. And I was just paying respect to him. I said, hey, I respect that. Hey, you fought to the end, and I just want to let you know that I respect your game. I respect, you know, what you did, and I want to show you by putting that necklace on you. And I think we all agreed. I mean, like Carolyn said, even though we were being cutthroat, we genuinely liked each other. And it was hard, because now I got to go and tell Mama C that I'm voting for you tonight. And that was tough.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn, can you go back to the auction and talk about when Mike, you know, made that decision and he wasn't going to pay for the letter, and then he was going to go for the advantage, and that whole big thing ended up happening. There is a moment where you say, well, you know what? I'm going to sell my letter back. Here, you can have my $20 back. I won't take my letter. And we were all wondering, was that about to happen? Would that have flown? Could you have returned your letter and gotten your money back?
Oh, I have no idea, but I was livid beyond words, because there was no way I was taking my letter if every one of them didn't. Because if you remember in that episode, I'm the one who said, if we all take the letters, we all pay $20, it's the same thing as all of us having $500 and giving them $500 for the advantage. So let's just have the best of both. And everyone agreed to do that.
Yeah.
And so I jumped up and I was like, okay. So in my mind, once we all agreed to do that, I don't think that it would have been the right thing to either let him not do it or not give me my money back if I wanted to go for it. Because we all agreed, I would have never in a million years, I would have given up my letters for that advantage. That's the way I was playing the game. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what Jeff would have done if it wouldn't have worked out that way, but that's where my head was at. That's why you heard what I said.
Right. And then, you know, from that point on, you know, everybody just turns on Mike. And from that point on, you know, you guys are people that you had this plan. Okay, we're going to take out Mike. You know, we're going to get the jump on him. And Rodney wants to take him out at Final Seven. How much easier did Mike make it for you guys to convince Dan and Sierra from that point on that Mike needed to go?
No, I think the way Mike was behaving after that, they were done.
Yeah.
I know when they came back, you know, because I wasn't even at the auction. You know, the brother, they let the brother go first. So I was gone. I paid myself out of the auction. So when I get back and I hear the stories that they almost didn't get their letters because of Mike, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because they was like, we're done with Mike.
You know, I'm interested to know from both of you guys that you have a couple people from your cast now go back out for this Survivor Second Chance. How do you guys think that Shireen is going to do on her second chance?
She's first gone.
Do you feel like she was hurt by all of this, or do you feel like that was from your experience playing with her?
I think that she got on the show because people felt sorry for her. And I think once they realized the real Shireen, and Cass gets a hold of her, oh, she's gone.
Carolyn, is that the way that you see it also?
I think that the people from Dirty 30, they're at a very big disadvantage being out there, because A, you're fresh in everybody's mind, and people are going to know your game inside and out. And so, you know, depending on how hard you play at the beginning and how real you come across, or, you know, if you're scheming, that's all going to play into it. And, I think that they're fresh in everyone's mind, and they're going to have a target on their back.
I do definitely think that there is something to that of people that they just saw on TV going back into this, you know, Shireen talking about how she has, you know, made all this money, and Jeff talking about what, you know, how great Joe is during the reunion. I think that will hurt them. Well, could you just touch on real quick what you were saying about the real Shireen? What do you mean by that?
You never saw, you know, the comments that she, if you look back at our season, everybody had a problem with Shireen.
Now, but, Carolyn, do you co-sign that? Because to me, it doesn't make sense of why that I've heard this from, in Dan's interviews also. But why wouldn't they show that if Shireen was saying these things out there?
Listen,
we need more raw footage.
Exactly. Shireen's eccentric, and Shireen knows the game inside and out. And Shireen, you know, she talks a lot. She's out there. She's, you know, she's eccentric. She's, so those people that are like that have, they stick out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people can deal with that. Some people can't.
Okay. All right. So, there's so much more to talk about all of this stuff. I know you guys have to run. Thank you guys both for coming on. And you know, Carolyn, I'm really sorry about this, the second chance vote. I really did feel like you were going to be out there.
She should have been out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on with me, and all the best. Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
Much.
Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That is Will and Mama C here on the podcast. And so much to get into, and so many different things that you could, different directions you could take, especially with two people on the line and only, you know, 15, 20 minutes to get to. You can barely scratch the surface with some of this stuff. And hopefully we covered some ground here today. But as you can tell, there is plenty more to talk about. And I'm not sure how much more we will talk about all of this stuff with Shireen and everything like that. But you can definitely tell. Definitely some open wounds still there. You know, there's no love lost there. Let's go ahead and bring in Sierra and Rodney, because they're who's up next. Again, a double interview. Going to have both Sierra and Rodney on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Sierra and Rodney, are you there? Hey, guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Hold on. I thought we were getting Rodney. Is Mike there?
Dude, I'm here with Rodney right now.
Yeah, Mike. Oh, my God. Great to talk to you again. Congratulations on your win.
Dude, I don't get there for my blue stuff because I've been blue the whole damn game, man. I love these blue colors, man.
Wow. Mike, congratulations again. Is Rodney there?
Rodney's here, brother.
Hi, Rodney.
It was good seeing you last night, brother.
Good to see you, too. I got to talk to your dad, too. He was great. Congratulations to both of you guys getting that far in the game. All right. I don't even know where to start, but just talk about what it was like for the both of you guys. Let's start with Rodney. Rodney, how close did you feel like you ultimately had this game?
Well, you see the bowl day Jeff asked last night, right?
Yeah.
And in the edit, Jen has this killer speech about how, and she turns to the jury. I'm not going to talk to Will, Mike, and Caroline. I want to talk to you guys. Mike's the best. Mike's God. If you don't vote for Mike, you're an idiot. And everybody blows up and the place goes crazy, right? But then when Jeff asked, who raised their hand? Jen said she would have voted for me. So you can't ask somebody 8 months later after you see an edit that I may have called them a hick or I may have said some trash talk. You may be bitter. This person might not like that person. You know in Survivor because you play the game. When you're in the moment and you got momentum and you're making people laugh and you're a comic relief and then I could break down and do the impersonations at that final tribal, who knows what would have happened? And I got to live with the factors. What if I didn't get there? I didn't get outvoted. I didn't get my name written down where my my torch got snuffed. It came to the fact that I got outfired, you know, and it's just, it kills me that forever I'm going to live it. What if I won the battle? Go against Mike Holloway and see if I can take that.
I mean, how tough was that with the fire? Because I know when you were doing the challenge where it was down to you and Mike holding on for immunity, that the problem was, you said that your hands got really sweaty. Was that the problem with making the fire also?
When the fire there, like people don't realize that it's all Rodney's a whining crybaby. He doesn't appreciate Survivor. Come on, man. I was on this island and Sierra got to go get chocolate and got to help the homeless kid, which was probably an experience I'll never forget. But now looking back at it, maybe they can understand like what I didn't get. I had the Survivor experience. I got to share with these amazing people and love them. But in terms of Nicaragua, I didn't see Nicaragua and what it was about. I stayed on Escameca Beach the whole damn time. And I didn't eat, and food to me was the hottest thing that I ever had to deal with. I'm used to having 5,000 calories a day.
5,000?
Oh, I eat a lot of food, brother. I'm a savage. So being out there and competing on very low fuel, and I look like a straight crackhead the last challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hot for me to even compete. But Dan was talking dirty to me, right? My hands were sweaty in that water bucket, but Dan's like, you got this. You hold on, brother. Motivation, dedication, and he's freaking, and he's getting like, he's getting me all hypey, and then he goes, he's shaking, hot rod. And then if you look at the edit again, look over. I look over, and right when I look over, I'm like, oh shit! And then my grip kind of slipped a little bit.
Yeah,
Dan was trying to do a good deed, but he kind of got in my head there.
Yeah, you know, I'm also very interested, Sierra, from your perspective of the game, because I did feel like that you had a shot if you got into that final three. But I think a lot of people didn't really have a good finger on the pulse of what you were doing in the post-merge game. Could you just talk us through who you were with? Because we didn't know were you with Dan? Were you with Rodney? So what was your game plan in the post-merge game?
You know, post-merge was obviously right after I got our first tribal and I got betrayed, whatever. And I had to sit there and be like, Sierra, are you going to play off of your emotions and be a girl right now? Or are you going to look at the big picture and think about who you want to be with in the end? And that's what I had to do and what I had to do for the rest of the game. Of course, I wanted to hang out with Joey all the time or go with the Girl Alliance because obviously I was getting along with them. What you didn't see is I had real relationships with every single one of my castmates. I spent time with everyone, really good friends, in fact. And for me, that's the social game I wanted to play. I didn't want to be the loud one, you know, the one who's like getting in fights and arguing because that's not who I am and it makes me insanely uncomfortable. But I wanted to be Sierra and I wanted to be personable and friendly. But unfortunately, like, that's not good TV. Nobody just wants to sit there and watch somebody be nice. Like, that's stupid. And that's kind of what you guys saw was me being quiet, which is the furthest thing from like who I am. I'm like really loud and annoying all the time. But, you know, I just had to look at the big picture and I had to say, in the end, who do I want to be sitting next to? So post-merge, I kept that in my head. I was with Dan. You know, I was like, I have to stay with this person. When he goes, I go over to Rodney. Like, it's people I wanted to take to the end with me that I thought I could beat.
You know, that's interesting about that you were with Dan, because we weren't exactly sure, because, you know, we had during the episodes where you and Dan sort of got into it. Of course, who could forget?
Just close your mouth, open your ears, and just watch what happens.
And so much was made over Dan and his attitudes towards women. Sierra, what was your first person account of what it was like to live with Dan?
Dan is like nobody I've ever met. Dan is authentic, and it's beautiful because a lot of people can't be that way in life, but it also is really hard for other people to understand. When you're that like just different and just the way Dan is, people don't get it. People take it as you're fake. People take it as you're rude and abrasive or whatever. But Dan, yeah, he said some things to me that were hurtful and genuinely hurt my feelings. But Dan, also what you didn't see, apologized a lot, to the point that I was like, I swear if you say I'm sorry one more time, I'm going to pull my eyelashes out. Like, I can't hear you say I'm sorry. So Dan's a great guy, but he just sometimes doesn't say the right thing at the right time. He means well, without a doubt. It just doesn't come out the way it should.
So when the auction happens and then Mike ultimately makes the move where he looks like he's going to try to, you know, bid for the advantage and or he's going to buy a letter and he doesn't buy the letter. Sierra, you were one of the people that was really upset about that. From that point on, was Mike sort of dead to you in terms of somebody that you could trust in the game?
You know, I think it happened a little bit before then. And Mike met me on the beach one day and was like yelling in my face. And he's like, you're going to go home. They're turning on us. Like, it was like screaming at me. And I was looking into his eyes and I was like, this guy's crazy. Like, he has officially lost it. Paranoia has set in. Mike, he's starving. He doesn't know what he's saying. And so I think it started a little bit further back from that. But when he did do that, it was really shady because I saw Mike so much as like a great guy who's kind and caring. And then out of nowhere, he does this kind of like sneaky ass move. And it's like, whoa, it caught everybody off guard because I thought, you know, your word, and I thought you were going to do it. And then you didn't, but then you did. So it was weird. It was just a really weird feeling. It was uncomfortable and I didn't like it.
Yeah. And then here comes Rodney. And I thought this was some of your best stuff in the game, Rodney, when you came in and really just pounced on that and then used the whole thing with the letter to sort of drive a wedge between Mike and the former people that were in the alliance with him in Dan and Sierra. Did you just feel like for you, was that like too good to be true when that was happening when you wanted to get Mike out?
Yeah. So see what happened with the situation was the whole bromance with me and Joaquin lit a fire under my ass coming into the merge, because I was so mad because now I know where I stood with Sierra, Dan, and Mike. They were on the blue and I was at the bottom, right? And also Tyler was at the bottom as well because they blindsided both of us. So then the merge happened, and then the best thing ever happened was I had Will. But before that, I was making social connections even on the mat. Like after, I'd give Will winks like, bro, I want to work with you. Like, let's get ready. When we get together, we're going to make some action. And look at what happened. I took him all the way to the end. And if you go back to episode 7 or 8, I go, listen, Mike's running the ship right now. We're going to let him run the ship. We're going to get out Haley, Joe, Jen, Shireen, and then we're going to run the ship. I mean, I called this stuff from like the beginning because I seen that I could play both sides. I could pretend that I'm quote unquote blue collar strong because I'll be a part of their number and they can think that. And I'm also going to stop my axis of evil where I'm the top running this alliance. Okay. And then make it so, oh, he's a threat. She's a threat. As long as y'all not mentioning me and I'm not a threat, then I don't care. Because when it came down to it at the end, Mike could have went out 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, because back against the wall, he had to win 5 immunities. So in this game, all I had to do was win 1. And then you could be talking about Rodney Soul Survivor going up against other people who I feel like I got 3 votes last night going up against Mike, quote unquote, after Jeff did the revote. So who knows what would have happened if I just held on to that poll one longer, then I'm guaranteed to win. Fair to say?
Yeah, I think that definitely is a fair case to make. But what I want to know is from watching the TV show, when we saw how this was all unfolding, we knew that there was the Rodney, Tyler, Carolyn, Will thing. That was a 4. But what we couldn't really wrap our heads around was, you know, where did Dan and Sierra figure into all of this, the 6? And for you, Sierra, for you and Dan, What did you guys feel like was your path to the end? Did you guys feel like that you were with Rodney and you had that, or was there some other alliance that you guys had in that six?
I mean, unfortunately, we thought we were with Rodney, Will, and Carolyn. And I thought, you know, I really thought we were, which Mike yelling at me on the beach, telling me we weren't, I was like, you're crazy, I am. And it almost was like, I didn't want to believe that because Mike had screamed it in my face. And I was like, no, but I am. And I really thought I was. I mean, I think I was a lot closer to Carolyn, but I still thought me and Rodney were good. And I thought we were on the same page because we spent a lot of time together.
Okay, well, this is great because we have Rodney here. So, Rodney, was that for you? Was that the real plan to go with Dan and Sierra? And was Tyler really on the outs?
Well, you see, the thing with Tyler was he gave Mike the exact clue to the hidden immunity idol, which was crazy. And then you know about Caroline's idol as well. So you don't display in this information that, Rob, I showed Tyler that I am a trustworthy guy because when Joaquin, he was type of Joaquin, and our plan was when we got to the merge, now we have Joaquin, we have Caroline, we have Tyler, I have Will. I'm going to have crazier numbers than I did going in, right? So I proved Tyler I have that trust. So why wouldn't you tell me or Will or anybody in this Axis of Evil alliance about Caroline's idol? Maybe we could have made a move and saved him. So, and then also Mike had that, you know, get out of jail free pass with the hidden immunity idol by him giving him the clue.
Yeah.
So those moves right there were just, you know, it was bad gameplay and bad strategy on Tyler's point. And every time I tried strategizing with Tyler, he goes, it looked like Captain Morgan rubbing his chin going, hold that thought, and we'll come back to it. He did it to Sierra. He did it to everybody. I'm like, bro, no, I'm not holding no thought. We're about to go to tribal. Don't tell me what we're going to do, then we can't work together. So I was more tight with Will, and Caroline voted with me every single time. Did she screw me all my rewards and promise me food? Absolutely. But when you talk to that woman, we voted together every single time. And look at what the final four was, Rob. Me, Caroline, Will, Mike. But I called it to be Kelly. But, you know, Mike didn't trust me and how close I was to Will, and he switched up the vote. And that's when Haley and Jen stayed and they played the idol and Kelly went home. He didn't trust me that I had Will, but I couldn't give up my alliance and say, no, I'm really, really close to Will, because it would have blew up what I really had going on for the game, you know?
Okay. But tell me, let's say Mike was out at final six. Who was going to go out at six?
Oh, these questions are so, what if? What if this? What if that?
No, but you had to know. If Mike was gone, who was going out first from the six?
All right, so if Mike was gone, name six. Name the six we have.
It was going to be you. It was going to be you, Will, Carolyn, Tyler, Sierra, and Dan.
At that point in time, just like how I was riding with the numbers, you know, this is when I think, who could I think that would be easy to go smooth sailing to the end with? So I'd probably, you know, say I'd probably take, I don't know, Tyler, Dan. People saw him as a threat. I didn't see him as a threat in this game, man. I'll be perfectly honest with you. And I feel like it didn't matter who I took. I feel like a burst 06, I would have took it home with my last out piece. It really wouldn't have mattered what strategy, what game. I just had to win immunity, stay safe and get the necklace, which I didn't get to wear, and I just moved down for the end.
Sierra, did it freak you out that Dan had the advantage, or did you not mind because you were working with him?
I didn't mind at all. I mean, it put a target on his back, and he loved it, and he played it up, and he would be like, watch my backpack while I go to the rivers, and no one
would. Wait, you do it, Dan, also?
I'm not as good as these guys, but I try. But, no, like, he loved it. He just was so excited that he had this. And it put a target on his back. So I was just sitting there like, okay, Dan, what is it? Tell me about it. Like, what do you have? I love to see him get so excited over it.
Rodney, did it worry you that Dan had this advantage in the game?
You know what? See, this just tells you how close I was ever in the game. Dan told me what the advantage was.
So both of us playing. No,
he told me and Sierra right away what the advantage was. So they went through his bag later. I was the first person to know. So now I'm like, all right, I can play this side, I can play that side. So before that information, I could have used that to help Tyler or Caroline. I could have used, but, you know, Tyler didn't come to me and want to talk and do no work. Right when he got that advantage, I could have blew it up. But I still had plans for Dan. I always kept the thing about my game, I kept my book open. I'm like, I can go this way, I can go that way. I'm always riding with the numbers, baby. That's what I said. I was always riding with numbers, and this is a social game, and everybody loved me. My edit seemed like I was just crazy. Whack job, nut job, ragging on hicks and rednecks and not getting along with everybody. I was doing that for you guys' entertainment, and it worked out well. But in reality, I love Sierra. Sierra loves me. Jen says, I hate you on the show. Jen absolutely loves me. We're going to Vegas and party in about, I don't know, 20 hours.
Oh,
so,
God.
I mean, all these people on the cast, you know, love. And if I got to say my piece at that final travel, who knows what would have happened. But kudos to Mike. I'm not bitter. The dude outplayed. It's just, I feel like my social game, like I said, was impeccable, and nobody respects it because they don't respect me as a Survivor player, maybe because I'm not a super fan like you guys.
Well, I think that you keep doing those impressions and you keep being good TV. I think that people are going to come around on you.
Oh, absolutely, man. They miss you when you're gone, man. You know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. I think that suit is going to be legendary. We're going to talk about that for years.
I got myself on CBS looking like a blue Power Ranger, man. Looking like a superhero.
You could go tip-top toes with anybody as far as fashion goes.
Oh, absolutely, man. DQ status. I knew if I was going to win the million, Rob, I was going to go on stage looking like a million.
Looking like a million. Can you talk about that plan that you came up with where you were going to try to make Mike think that you were going to quit the game after the birthday talk? Did you feel like that had a good shot to work?
All right, listen, this is what I wouldn't you rather play the game than sit back and have defeat?
Sure.
So I think it would have been annoying, right? Because my idea for this came right after I was really mad fed up. But I thought about it. I'm like, listen, I'm crazy, right? And if you guys all can act and put on your De Niro, right, and make it like Rodney is pulling a Jen Brown and wants to just quit, but I don't want to officially quit, you know what I mean? I just want you guys to vote me out. If you could somehow convince that and maybe Mike could save the idol, you could, but everybody just shot the idea down. They didn't want to run with it, and I was trying to help Kyle. I'm like, listen, now you're going home because of that. Let's go out with guns blazing. You know, throw Mike Tyson knockout punches, and if you miss, at least you go out swinging. And I tried putting something together other than sitting back and not doing anything. So it looked at in the edit like I was just crazy and it was stupid. I feel like, man, why not give it a shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. A couple more quick questions. Sierra, you vote for Carolyn in the finals, correct?
Yes, I did.
So just talk to me, why Carolyn over Mike?
You know, I don't want to take anything away from Mike's game because I think he did a great job, but honestly, I spent every day with that guy and he was crazy out there. Like, he just... Every day was just like running around, like we ought to get firewood. I think me and him had, I think we had like 15 arguments about like, we're not living on Mike's time. Like, I would literally sit him down and be like, Mike, this is not your world. We're not just living in it. Like, it's like, you just got to give people the time. So to me, I didn't think he played that great of a social game. And yes, he was a hell of an athlete and won all of these immunities and outplayed everybody, but that's not what it was. As a whole to me, Carolyn goes out there and does win immunities. And there's a reason why we call her Mama C. She's our mom. She treated us like, you know, she took care of us. And to me, that was a better game. Like, all of it aside, I thought Carolyn played a better game.
Okay. And real quick, Rodney, why Will over Mike?
Well, the way that went about was how I told everybody, man, I was so sick. I was puking out of my mouth, shitting out of my ass last day to the point where I told the crew, I don't even know if I want to come out for the final. I was sick as a dog. So I came to the point where I'm like, you know what? My last vote is going towards my new bromance, my brother Will. The reason why I got there is because he put his faith in me and I made this crazy huge move to flip and I put all the no callers on the jury because they thought they were strong with Will. They thought that was going to be their four core alliance. I stole him. Flipped the game up, and I ended up in the final four because of his loyalty. And I ended up in a fire making challenge, and Caroline was crying because she came over to me and Will's like, you better get your ass out of here. He goes, I'm putting your name down tonight. So that's it. So it came down to that. I knew that I was safe with Will. The dude was loyal to me. And in just a little of my real life, I reward people who are loyal, and that's why I put his name down.
Okay. Last 10 seconds. What did Max Dawson say about not getting on Survivor Second Chance?
Well, he called me, and he was so mad that he wasn't on Survivor. But being a part of the 30-30 experience and getting to meet people like Rodney and Sierra, it was the best experience ever.
All right. And before you go, could you give me just one, you got to relax, bro?
You gotta relax, bro.
Great job. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'd love to talk to you both more in the future, and hope you guys keep in touch. Good luck in Vegas, and all the best, guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That's Sierra and Rodney, the very talented Rodney, who I think is maybe going to end up being the breakout star out of all of this after it's all over, in terms of, you know, who people really come to love. You know, when he was on the show and he was doing stuff and complaining about his birthday and stuff like that, I feel like people were kind of hard on him. But I feel like he's the kind of guy where, now that he's not on the show, I feel like we're going to really remember fondly in terms of a Survivor player. So there was Rodney here on the podcast. All right, that's going to do it for us here today on the Final Five Exit Interviews. Again, we've covered a lot of ground here in this show. Again, I talked to Tyson last night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, but what we're going to do next is we're going to turn it over to you guys. This is like the Final Tribal Council. Okay, you guys heard what I had to say. Now we're going to turn it over to what you guys have to say. We're going to bring in Josh Wiggler. We're going to talk about everything that you wanted to know from the voicemails. We're going to have a question thread up and hear your thoughts on the Survivor 30 finale. If you want to talk about some of the stuff from this, we're also going to talk about everything going on with Survivor Second Chance. So much happening right now. I'm also going to have Big Brother Canada exit interviews for you guys today. Everything is also then getting you set up for Memorial Day weekend coming up here in the U.S., and we're going to have the first chapter of our Evolution of Strategy, Volume 2, coming up. Guatemala, ready to go back to the Mayan Empire and talk about everything going on there in the first season, where we're bringing back two returning players to play with a bunch of newbies in Guatemala. So more on that with Josh Wiggler in our next podcast that's coming up. Have a great one, everybody. Thanks so much for everybody that's been helping to support the podcast this season in terms of listening to all these shows that I'm doing and commenting and talking about it with people on Twitter and stuff like that. We appreciate all of it. So thank you guys so much again. This has been the craziest season, I think, that we've had on the podcast just in terms of coverage between this and everything going on with Survivor Second Chance. So thank you guys for hanging in there all this time with me. Greatly appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.